All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I want to speak this morning on one verse, but I'm going to read a few verses that will take us to the verse that I want to use as my text this morning. So let's begin in verse 24, and we'll read this last paragraph in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now you say, well, what's mammon? Mammon is money, all right? It's wealth. You cannot serve God and money, mammon. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And the answer to that is yes. It is more than just what latest fashion you have on or what kind of a steak you're cutting into for dinner. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." We do that, but the birds don't do that. You say, well, why not? Well, because your heavenly Father feedeth them. "Are ye not much better than they?" And the answer again is, well, of course you are. Of course you are. All right, verse 27. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Boy, that's true, isn't it? You got there and see a flower, just stop and look at that flower and realize the glory that is in that flower. I mean, it's just phenomenal. All right, verse 30. It says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, I looked over at my watch for a second. Verse 30, "which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" All right, now start paying real close attention here. "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after parentheses, verse 32, parentheses, "for after all these things do the Gentiles seek." And let me just say, and still do. All right? All these things the Gentiles seek. And the Gentiles still do. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." All right, now here's my text. "But seek ye," what's the next word?
First,
"the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to speak to you this morning, actually on the subject of priorities. All right, but I'm going to entitle my message this morning, First Things First. First Things First. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Now, our Father, thank you for the privilege to open the eternal word of the living God. Thank you for allowing us to be here to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will fill me with your spirit. I pray you'll help me today. I need your help. And Father, certainly our folks need your help as we listen. I pray now that the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God where it's needed. And Father, help us today to look inward and see where our priorities lie. And I pray, Father, you'll help us to follow the counsel and the advice that was given by our wonderful Savior here in this 33rd verse. Bless now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name and amen. The verse that I just read for you, verse 33, is found in the middle of, almost the middle, of the great sermon that the Lord Jesus gave on the Mount. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus went to this spot and on the north side of the Sea of Galilee. And the people then gathered around him where he delivered this message that we refer to in our Bible, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 33 is an exhortation from the Lord Jesus to the people and to us, because it is included in our Bibles, but it is an exhortation about priorities in our lives, the priorities that we have in our life. Those who put themselves first and only think of how things apply to them and to their well-being normally do not care very much for this verse. They don't like this verse very much. You know, those who only think about themselves, they certainly don't want anyone telling them that they need to put the things of God first. They're not interested in putting the things of God first. The Lord Jesus, in very plain language, though, tells us in this 33rd verse that we are to seek first. There's your priority right there. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, look back at the verse as you find it in your Bible and notice the little phrase, the kingdom of God. When you read your Bible, you often read this phrase, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. But there is another phrase that you often read in the Bible, and I'm sure that you have noticed it, and I'm sure that you have seen it as well. And that phrase is the kingdom of heaven. Now, many times the Lord Jesus said the kingdom of God, and then many other times the Lord Jesus said the kingdom of heaven. Are they the same? Well, I submit to you they're not the same. They are different from one another. And in your Bible, you will read that the Apostle Paul often uses the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. So you have the kingdom of God and you have the kingdom of heaven. And I call this to your attention because these two phrases are not speaking about the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, listen carefully now, the kingdom of heaven is always used when the Lord was speaking about a place. The kingdom of heaven. Folks, we need to realize that the kingdom of heaven is a real place. There is, this morning, a place called heaven. You say, well, where is it? Well, the Bible says that it's in the north. I don't know how far in the north it is. It just says it's in the north. And it's really interesting when they shined the Hubble telescope due north out into the universe, it's just blank out there. It's just blank out there. And one of the guys that works at NASA said that just every little bit, there's this little flash of light. And they can't figure out what it is that they're seeing in that little flash of light. Well, I think it's the gates of heaven opening up to let a saint of God in, if you want my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I happen to believe with all my heart that there is a place called heaven. And so when the Lord Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he is talking about a literal place. It is always used when the Lord Jesus is speaking about a place. During the millennial reign of Christ. Now you remember the Bible clearly explains to us what is going to happen in the future. And the next prophetic event to happen on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And so when the rapture takes place, all the saints of God go to heaven, but then you've got a 7-year tribulation period where the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon this world. Why? For its wickedness and sin. God is going to judge the earth for the way that the world has become. And I have defined the rapture, then the tribulation, as the ruin period. So you got an R, rapture, R, ruin. And then you've got, in the Bible, the second coming of Christ when he comes back to this earth to fight the battle of Armageddon, brings all of us with him, and we are going to fight in that battle with him. Joel chapter 1 and 2 and 3, the book of Joel talks about this. And in the second chapter, Joel talks about how when we come back, nothing is going to hurt us. He said, you'll get stuck with a sword, but it won't hurt you. I like that, don't you? That's a pretty good idea if you ask me. All right, so you got rapture, ruin, return. That's when Jesus comes back and all of us with him to fight the battle of Armageddon. And then you've got what? The reign, R-E-I-G-N, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the Bible always refers to that millennial reign, which is going to be a place, the kingdom on this earth, ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when God talks about that in the Bible, God the Holy Spirit talks about that in the Bible, it is a place, the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord's 1,000-year millennial reign is a place. It is going to be here on this earth. And we need to consciously realize that there is a literal place called heaven, and there is a kingdom that is going to be established upon this earth. And the Lord Jesus is going to sit upon the throne of David and rule that kingdom. All right? But the kingdom of God, now that's something else totally. When you read the kingdom of God, that is not the same as the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus tells us here that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. That is to be the top priority in my life and in your life. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, what does the kingdom of God mean? The Lord Jesus said that you and I are to seek it first above everything else. So if we are to seek first the kingdom of God, what in the world is it? Well, the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. It's God's way. And what Jesus is saying is that you and I are to find out what is God's way, and then we're to do it. You say, well, Pastor, how do you find out what God's way is? Right here. Right here. That's why I challenge you practically every Sunday. I will say to you, hey, folks, get in a book. Read your Bible. You need to know what's in this book. Why? Because this is God's way. It's just that simple. So the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. It is God's method. Now, of course, God has a way, a method of how he operates. God has a course of action, a program, a plan, and all of this is in the kingdom of heaven. All right? God's way is in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says that as a believer, that I am to put first the kingdom of heaven. Now let's look, or the kingdom of God. Now let's look at this exhortation from the Lord Jesus this morning. And I want to make some suggestions to you and give you some ways that you might be able to adjust your priorities this morning. Folks, whether we realize it or not, we all have our own priorities in life. But the Lord Jesus says in this verse that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we do, then all these other things that we so worry about, that the Lord was talking about in verse 24 down to verse 32, all these other things, once we put the Lord's method, the Lord's purpose, the Lord's plan first in our lives, all those other things will be added to us. They'll just be added by the grace and the goodness of the Lord. Now, three things I want you to see. First of all, I want you to notice from this verse, we have the seeking in this exhortation. There is the seeking. Now, I want you to look carefully at the verse. In this first point, I want to have you look seriously at that little word that is in verse 33, the second word in, and it says, but seek. Seek. I want you to notice the seeking in the exhortation. You see, folks, getting our priorities right is not going to be easy. It's not an easy thing to do. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that that's true. We are going to have to do some serious seeking in order to accomplish what the Lord Jesus said we are to do. That means that there must be some desire on our part. There's got to be a desire to want to put the Lord first. It means, folks, that we are going to have to put forth some effort. You see, it's not automatic. You are not automatically going to seek first the kingdom of God. Don't forget that you were born a sinner against God. And as a sinner, Paul said in Romans chapter 3 that there is none that seeketh after God. So if you are going to seek after God, you're going to have to put forth an effort to do that. You're not going to just wake up one morning and say, well, I'm seeking after God. No, you've got to put forth the effort to do that. That's just the way these old sin natures of ours work. And so it means that we're going to have to expend some energy. We're going to have to work hard to accomplish this priority in our lives. Putting the things of the Lord first is not automatic. It is something that we must work at, something that we must strive to accomplish. We all know that there are many things that get in our way as we seek the things of the Lord. If you don't believe that, just notice the next time you sit down to read your Bible and pray, I want you to pay attention to all the things suddenly that happen in order to get your mind off of seeking after the Lord and get you away from the purpose at hand. I mean, it's amazing how when you sit down to read the Bible, the phone rings. Everybody that you know who is in your contact list starts to text you. It is amazing how when you sit down to read your Bible, the FedEx guy bangs on the door. A picture falls off the wall. The battery in your smoke alarm suddenly goes off and the thing starts beeping. And then, all these other things are happening. You hear the trash truck coming. And you say, oh my, I didn't take the trash out to the end of the driveway. And so down goes the Bible and the trash goes out. What was I doing? I can't remember what I was doing. Oh, well, I got to go down now and get the trash cans and bring them back. I mean, it's just an unending thing that the devil does everything he can to keep you from making the Lord Jesus the first thing in your life. He just has a way of doing that, doesn't he? Now, the things that I just rattled off to you are just some of the things that have happened to me in recent memory when I sat down to study and read my Bible. I'm just saying, folks, that if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we're going to have to put our minds and our hearts to do the seeking. You gotta put forth some effort. You see, the truth is, there are a multitude of things bidding for priority in our lives. There's a bunch of stuff. Isn't it amazing? I mean, how quickly we can all get so busy. I mean, sometimes doing good things, necessary things, but then sometimes we get so busy at doing absolutely nothing at all. Isn't that true? I mean, sometimes, somebody will call you on the phone and they'll say, hey, what are you doing? And you just answer right back. I mean, you just fire right back. Nothing. You're doing nothing? Yeah, I'm doing nothing. We can get so busy doing nothing, we just do not have time to do anything else. Don't you have something to do? No. What are you doing? Nothing. And folks, listen, what we prioritize is totally up to each one of us. What you prioritize, that's what you prioritize. And what I prioritize, that's what I prioritize. And you know, good things seldom come our way accidentally. They seldom do. Two times in my life, I have been walking and found money. Now, I'm 66 years old, two times. I've been outside just about every day of my life. But one day, I was sitting over here eating lunch, listening to Rush Limbaugh in this parking lot across the street, and it was one of those windy days that we get in the wintertime, and so I saw something rolling across the out of the corner of my eye. I looked up, and you know what it was? A shopping cart. And I mean, it was in high gear. Wasn't anybody around it. It was just doing what it wanted to do. And it was coming right straight toward my car. So very quickly, I opened the door. And when I opened the door, I put my leg out, my foot down, and something hit my foot. I looked down, and it was a $20 bill. I mean, living right or what? Huh? Can I get a witness there? Yeah. Another time, I was just a little guy, and my brother and I were walking down. Y'all gonna understand this? We were walking down the holler. You know what a holler is? All right. So there's a creek and there's a road and houses where they can put a house. And then a mountain here and a mountain there, and that's the holler. I guess you could stand up there and holler down, and somebody down there could hear you. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. Hollow. It was a hollow, but we didn't say it that way. Holler. We were up the holler, and we were going down the holler. And as we were walking along, I looked over, and something caught my eye, and I looked at it, and it was a $5 bill. So in my 66 years, I made $25 doing absolutely nothing. I like that. But that's all that's ever happened. All right? So sometimes doing nothing is the thing that we seek after the most. And folks, very seldom do good things come our way accidentally. They come to us by seeking. Seeking. You got to work for something. You got to actually put forth some effort. But evil does not have to be sought after, because the nature of evil is that it automatically itself does the seeking. Evil looks for you. It automatically does the seeking. But you see, good has to be sought after. There must be desire. There must be dedication. There must be determination. And don't forget what the Lord Jesus said near the end of this sermon. In chapter 7, he said, "Seek and ye shall find." Amen. Amen. Second thing I want you to see. We saw the seeking, but now secondly, I want you to notice the sequence. The sequence in this exhortation. Notice that we are to seek first. There's an order of things. And what you and I are to seek after first is the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus states that our priorities in this phrase. As I said to you in my introduction, the phrase kingdom of God speaks of God's methods, of God's way, of God's program. It refers to God's way of doing things. So the Lord Jesus is telling us to seek first and foremost spiritual matters, the things of the Lord. All right? Spiritual matters. These priorities that you and I are to seek after are spiritual matters. Our soul must come first in our pursuits. Our priorities need to be our own souls and the spiritual welfare of our own souls. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, the Lord Jesus said this about the value of your soul. He said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now, I want you to think about that for a moment, folks. That pretty well indicates that your soul is the most important thing about you. Your soul is the most important possession that you own. And this verse again tells us the importance of keeping spiritual matters first in our lives. And yet, the world puts spiritual matters on the back burner in order to gain as much of the world as they can get. But what did the Lord Jesus say in Mark 8? Well, he said that when a person dies, the only thing that matters is the soul. You see, what if, now just think about it, all right? I want you to personalize this, all right? Everybody, just take it for yourself. Don't look at somebody else and imagine it for somebody else. Take it and apply it to you, all right? Think about this. What if you gained the whole world? What if the whole world, all of its wealth, was yours? You had everything this world has to offer. You had billions and billions of dollars. What if you had land and houses and cars and boats and motorcycles and RVs and vacation homes, and you had the absolute most wonderful spouse? She does, but no comment. What if you had everything, folks? I mean, think about it. You had the most wonderful children the world has ever seen. In other words, you had it all. What if you had it all? But think about this. If you had it all, and yet the time came, because it is appointed unto man once to die, you had it all, but yet the time came when it was time for you to go out into eternity. You leave here. Do you get to take any of that with you? No, sir. No, sir. On your way out, you can't say, "Wait a minute, I want this bag of gold I've got in my safe." No. You can't take that out. You cannot say, I want to take my car with me. I want to take my car to heaven. I might need to drive up there. No, you can't do that. There is absolutely no way any of us are ever going to be able to take anything with us. You can take two things. You can take your own soul, and you can take your loved ones. You say, "Well, how do I get my loved one?" You win them to Christ. That's how. Amen. Folks, I think we're getting down the wire on this thing. If you got some children or some grandchildren that don't know the Lord, I'd be working on them real quickly. What if you had it all, but then you died and you went to hell? What would you have? Nothing. You would have nothing. And folks, the reason is because you cannot take one single thing with you into, from this earth, into eternity. All the money that you've accumulated, the cars, the houses, the toys, the iPads and the cell phones and the computers and the gizmos and the gadgets, well, all that stuff stays here. And there is not one thing that you can hang on to and drag with you into eternity. You remember, I told you on one of our trips to Israel, we went to Egypt and we came back, went to Israel, and then we went down into Egypt for a few days, and then went back to Israel and flew home. And we went to the museum, the Cairo Museum, and they had all the artifacts and all the things that they have found as they've dug those tombs up and went in those pyramids over there. When all you see are those three that are on that plateau that overlooks the city of Cairo. All you see are those three. Trust me, folks, you get up there a little bit and you look down that river, and there, I guess it would be up that river. Yeah, you look up that river, and what you see all along that river are the ruins of pyramid after pyramid after pyramid as far as the eye can see. And then you get way, way up that river, way up there, and that's where they call that area the Valley of the Kings, and they would go and bury many of them there. And so back in the late 1800s, these guys from England came over and started digging around, and they knew from the hieroglyphics, they knew the names of these pharaohs. And when they walked in and started uncovering stuff, they found the burial tombs for many of the pharaohs. And not only that, but they found their mummies intact. Think about it. Would you not have jumped out of your skin when you opened? Oh, wow. I would have. But they found it all. And when they found the boy king, King Tut, when they found his grave, you know, the one with the gold mask? You remember that? Solid gold. And then they found all the stuff that was buried with him. And what they found was they buried that guy with two horses, all right, food, money. They buried him with a chariot that had been disassembled. But there was instruction right there, like you would see in a Lego set, that showed him how to put that thing together for the afterlife. They gave him clothing. And so 3,000 years later, when they uncovered it all, you know what they found? They found the bones of two horses, calcified. They found bags of seed with mold growing on them. They found the pieces for a chariot that could be assembled along with the instructions. But you know what? That thing was not assembled. Isn't that strange? You know why? Because you can't take any of it with you, folks. So if you're here today and you are not sure that you know the Lord as your Savior, listen, you better give your heart to God. You better get saved before it's too late. Because on your way out, you're not going to be able to say, wait a minute, I need to take this asbestos suit with me. No. No, no, no. You cannot. You can't take anything with you. Number three, I want you to notice the support for the exhortation. The support. He exhorts us to put first, but then notice the last part of the verse. He said, now if you'll do this, if you'll put me first, my kingdom first, my ways first, you follow me first, then all these other things will be added unto you. What is the Lord Jesus promising us here? He is saying that when we have our priorities in order, when we have our priorities right, then everything else that we need in this life is going to be taken care of for us. God is going to see to it. I told you folks years ago in a message, I remember telling you that when Karen and I first got married, we lived in this little place called Glenville, West Virginia. And we didn't have two dimes to rub together. We were poor and we didn't know it. All right? And so we started this little church that is still going today. We started this little church there in that community. And the people would, I made $180 a week. $180 a week. Is that right, Karen? Do you remember that? It was paltry, whatever it was. But anyway, the Lord provided. And we had rent, and we had the electric bill, and we had to put gas in the car, and we had a little car payment. Wasn't much, but we had a little car payment. And so I would lay those bills out on the table. And I pray and say, okay, Lord, we need this. And Father, we've got, according to the checkbook here, we're minus 20 right now. So I really need some help here. And we would sit and wait until 9:30 when the mail lady came. And she would drive up to the mailbox and throw something in, and I'd run down the hill. And I'd get the mail, and I'd run back up, and the bills were laying out, and we would sit there and open up those bills, and I would lay the checks down right on top of them. The Lord provided every step of the way. And many, many times, we had like $5 left over. You say, why $5? Well, because a little pizza shop in town had a little medium pizza that cost $5. And Sunday night after church, we would order that $5 pizza, go up, lay the $5 down, and then take the pizza and go home and split it. You see, all these things will be added unto you. You just put the Lord first, and all these other things will be added to you. That's just the way God works, folks. That's his way. That's his method. God Almighty is the one promising us this truth. The verses preceding verse 33, they all speak of material needs like food and clothing. And these things are not evil in themselves, but they are not to take the priority over spiritual things. We're to put the Lord first. That's the idea. We must have food or we're going to die. We must have clothing or we'll be thrown in jail. I mean, well, maybe not today, but used to be. And you cannot go to the store without being clothed. It's amazing, you can go to church without being clothed, but you can't go to the store without being clothed. You say, you just had to do it, didn't you? Yes. So I think if we can say, I think I'm safe in saying that most of the poverty in our world today is the result of folks not having their priorities straight. Will you allow me to say that? I mean, that's what the Bible says here. People just don't put the Lord first. I mean, just imagine if everybody in the world put the Lord Jesus first. Oh, what a different world we live in today. We would not be relying upon government. We would not be relying upon men. We would not be relying upon welfare programs to take care of our people. All these other things would be added unto us. But people don't put God first today. And this means that their other needs are not going to be taken care of, even though they are given these things top priority in their lives. I'm just so thankful that God Almighty is the one who made this promise to us, folks. Amen. Just think for a moment about all the other needs that this world has. And if every person on the planet would put God first, oh my, what would God do for us in accordance to this promise? Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for a moment. You know, instead of putting God first, our world seems to be stuck on putting ideology first. Instead of putting God first, we seem to be stuck on putting ourselves first. And I just think it's time that some of God's people stand up and say, I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to put the Lord first. And that would help our world, that would help our country, that would help our state, and that would help our county. It would help our church, and it would certainly help our individual lives. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many Christians here today will say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Remember me in prayer. I really need to put the Lord first. There's some areas where He's not first, and I need to put Him first. I need to seek first the kingdom of God. Preacher, please pray for me. Would you lift your hand all over this building? Amen, amen, amen. Wow, that's wonderful, folks. God bless all of you. God bless you so much. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. All right, let me ask one more question. Maybe you're here today and you're not 100% sure that if you were to leave this world, you'd go to heaven. You say, Preacher, I know I need the Lord, and I wish you'd pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up? Say, Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord. Anybody like that? This morning, Preacher, pray for me. I need the Lord as my Savior. Anybody like that? All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you now for our time together. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God to our hearts. And Father, truth be told, every one of us should have raised our hand. And I'm sure that many who didn't raised it on the inside, knowing that we need to put the kingdom of God, God's ways, God's methods first. We need to put spiritual matters ahead of everything else. And Father, if we will, all these other things will be added unto us. So I ask you to bless all these folks who raised their hands. I had my hand up, and I pray that you'll just help all of us to put you first and speak to our hearts clearly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.